First, I want to wish you, everyone, a happy, blessed, healthy new year. You know, it seems like with the new year, that this time of year is that we all have this fit of optimism. We make these great promises and to ourselves about what we're going to do in this new year. We do that. You know, many abandon those promises probably within the second week of January. You know, they call resolutions or whatever. Let's be honest. How many of you have kept your diet up the way you thought you would? How many are actually doing more exercise? We'll probably, commit to that, and then by February we're done. And then you think, well, I'm determined to do something different this year. Well, I'm determined. You know, if I make a promise to God, I know I'm going to be able to keep this one that I'm going to make in 2025. I've decided to eat more and exercise less. I mean, that's one thing that we could keep up, right? Now, I believe I'll be able to keep that. But seriously, I'd venture to say most of us always, when we take a look at this time, we're looking for a new beginning in some area of our life. Amen? A new start, fresh start. Anyone ready for a fresh start? And usually around this time is when that happens. I believe we can all use that, you know, when you think about it. You know, I've come to the point that no matter how old you are, I'm talking to myself too, it's never too late for God to do something new in your life. You think about Abraham. He was in his 70s, and God said, okay, I want you to get up and go and start a whole nation and so on and so forth in his 70s. So some of us, we still got some time to get things going. But I want to talk to you this morning about some commitments which I believe if we make can make a radical difference in this year that we're entering into, if we follow through with them. In fact, I want to do is offer you a way of starting this new year in which will significantly change your life. I believe it. And I shared something like this last Sunday as we were about to approach New Year, and it's a little different than what I shared last Sunday. So if some of you were at that message, understand it's going to be a little different. I'm going to suggest four commitments, that if we make these four commitments out of God's word, these aren't what I think we should do, but out of God's word, I want to encourage you to make these. And I believe that as we start into this new season and new year in our life, it can change everything and how we look at life and how we deal with things and so on and so forth, that this could be the best year of our life so far. How many would like that? I mean, come on, I would. Some of you sit there and go, nah. But that's up to you. So you could check out, or if you're interested, let's check in to some commitments we can make to see this new year become something, if not same old, through God's word, not through my words. So Father, I do pray you would just speak to us. Just give us ears to hear what you're saying, Lord God, and be able to receive what you're saying. And it's not about anyone feeling guilty, but it's about understanding God's ways and how to enter into those ways so that we can become more and more like him and do the things he's called us to do. So Lord, we just commit this next few moments to you and just pray that in Yeshua's name. Amen. I want to begin by saying that the first commitment you know, to make this 2025 year better is forget your failures. Forget the things you've messed up in the past. Forget those things that you've been carrying around with you. You know, this old man who did things that he shouldn't have and so on and so, you know, people think I can make this old person better. No, we need to reckon that old person dead. We can't keep carrying around those things. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. It says, brothers, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward with what is ahead, I press toward with the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul had a lot to forget, and I don't have to get into that. You know, he was a persecutor of believers, and so, I mean, he did a lot of bad stuff. And he knew that he can't carry that stuff around with him anymore. So I believe the advice he is giving us, and this advice from God's word, really has stood the test of time. And I don't know any more practical or relevant advice for us to start this 2025 year than what I just read. We don't have to be imprisoned by our past. We don't have to carry around that stuff, whatever it is. All of us have failed in some way over the years in our lives. We probably won't see our failures in history or on social media or on TV and so on. But they're recorded in us. They're recorded in our hearts and in our minds. We know those things. We continue to carry them around. For many of us, our failures are some painful memories of what we've been through. Amen? Maybe it's a failed relationship. You made the wrong decision and said the wrong things in a relationship and it ended and so on and so forth. Whatever it is, it's more than likely that many of us know that we have failed ourselves in some ways. And all of us should know that in some way we fail God. Someone say amen to that? We have. Let's look at a person we're familiar with in Scripture who definitely needed a new beginning because he failed God more than once. His name was Peter. If anyone needed a second or third chance, Peter did. He needed a new beginning. He needed a new start. On more than one occasion, he needed that fresh start. And this morning, some of us are in that place where we need a new beginning because of some failure we've been dealing with and carrying around. Like I mentioned, a relationship and friendship. Maybe you failed as a parent in some way and how you dealt with your kids. You might messed up with and said things and done things with your spouse or friends or maybe it's with your finances or whatever it is, and whatever stuff we've made mistakes and failed upon, no matter what your failure is, we need a new beginning. We need a fresh start. We need to not be living that out and carrying that around with us. So when we talk about Peter's failure, you know, we could mention the time when Yeshua looked at him and said in Mark chapter 8, verse 33, get thee behind me, Satan. He called one of his closest friends and disciples Satan because of things he said and things he did. And we could speak of the time with Peter when Yeshua was washing the disciples' feet. Remember in Mark chapter 8, verse 33, John chapter 13, verse 8. When it came to Peter, he said, Peter said, no, you're not going to do my feet. You shall never wash my feet. And then Yeshua said, unless I wash your feet, you have no part with me, Peter. And then John 13:9, and the Lord said, Simon Peter replied, "Not just my feet, but my hands and head as well." Or maybe the famous one where he denied Yeshua three times. Or maybe the time Paul had to rebuke Peter. And so there are a lot of failures that he had in his life. And do you think for one moment if God forgave Peter and gave him a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance, don't you think he's going to do that with us? Amen. See, it doesn't matter what area in your life you have failed or you did what you shouldn't have or whatever you're carrying around. God is just waiting to give you waiting for you to let that go so he can give you a fresh start and a new beginning in this life. And I believe this year. So what God's word is really saying to us about that, don't allow yourself to be bogged down and held back by your past failures in life. Shouldn't dwell on our past so that it stops us from moving forward into the future that God has for us. May the best years for every one of us still be ahead. And I think the start of a new year, as we're entering into, is a good time for us to rise up to that challenge. To say to ourselves, I'm going to do it. With the help of God, I'm going to let those things go. I'm going to forget my past. I'm not going to reminisce and carry it around. I'm going to stop torturing myself of what I did or what I shouldn't do or what I didn't do and so on and so forth. See, a new year is a good time as we're entering into it to stop being chained to your failures and having all this guilt that you carry around with you. God's saying here in his word, he doesn't want us to go through life branding ourselves as a failure and living in a guilt life. That's why Yeshua went to the cross at Calvary, that we could be forgiven. When we become believers, that forgiveness becomes a reality in our lives. We've received from Yeshua's forgiveness. It allows us to even forgive ourselves and forget our failures and not just carry them around with us. Maybe we need to do that starting today. Maybe you need to accept Yeshua's forgiveness for what you've done. And maybe you need to forgive yourself. Let's commit to that. And the second thing I want to commit to this new beginning, this fresh start in 2025, is to commit ourselves to give up grudges, things we've held against people. Listen to these words from the book of Colossians. You'll hear this second challenge that I'm making to us today. And I believe God wants us to rise, to get through this, to make 2025 significant turning point in our lives. Colossians 3:13, he says, bear with each other. Forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. That's a challenge for every one of us. God, in those words, is directly challenging us to give up those grudges, those holding on to things. He says, forgive each other, whatever the issues are, whatever you have against anyone, you need to let that go. See, a grudge, it's like a deep resentment that you have cultivated in your heart against someone else. It's like this unforgiving spirit that some of us carry around that leads us to unforgiving attitudes and unforgiving actions that we have. Now, I know you know what I'm talking about. Harboring a grudge is about nursing a dislike for someone. How many remember the Hatfields and McCoys? They, for almost 100 years, they hated each other. They came against each other. They had this grudge against each other. They even committed murder against each other. We have to understand, and we need to know, that holding those type of bitter attitudes toward people are dangerous. They're destructive. Grudges and holding those things destroy marriages, just break up families, ruin friendships, destroy churches. I mean, let's be honest enough to admit one of the problems in a congregation in general is that grudges that and attitudes that believers have against one another. You know, I've been around the block a few times. I mean, after being a pastor for over 30 years, I know people that have held things against me that never would come to me and never would say anything. They just gone. And they hold on to these things and so on. So we all know what that's like, and it's never easy. And they say, if you have something, let's talk about it. Let's work through it. Let's deal with it. Don't hold on to that and hold on to that bitterness that you might have toward with something, someone. And I want to tell you something this morning. If you know you're holding that grudge against someone, God has something to say to you this morning. And he says, give it up. Let it go. Deal with it. Don't hold on to it. They're not just destructive, they're self-destructive as well. When you hold this bitterness or anger or grudge against someone, you hurt yourself as much and perhaps more than you will ever hurt that other person. They probably don't even care. I mean, they've moved on. But you're the one that's holding on to this stuff. You know, I was writing this down. I read about a tragic example of how destructive that can be. This man was killed by a parcel bomb that someone sent. Then a couple committed suicide a week later. And it turned out that the couple who had committed suicide were the ones that sent the bomb to this person because of some grudge the man had against this guy that stretched all the way back to school days. And he sent them this bomb and it killed the guy and they felt so guilty they wound up killing themselves. And see, those type of bitterness toward with someone is destructive. It destroyed not only the person who he had the grudge against, it destroyed the man and his wife too. Make no mistake about it. If you're harboring something against someone, it'll eventually destroy you some way. Maybe not physically, but emotionally, spiritually, in some way. It will make you bitter, a bitter person. In fact, in a book of Job in chapter 21, it describes people, and it says this about them. It says, people have no happiness at all. They live and die with bitter hearts. Some people are living and they're going to die with bitter hearts. If you have any bitterness in your hearts to anyone, is that the way you want to live? Is that the way you want to be remembered? You remember the parable that Jesus, Yeshua, taught about the servant who was forgiven a huge debt by the king, and then he refused to forgive someone else their tiny little debt that they owed him. And Yeshua said, his unforgiving spirit led him to prison. Max Lucado, very good author, said this. He said, unforgiving people always end up in prison. Prisons of anger, prison of guilt, prison of depression. Don't sentence yourself to prison. Set yourself free. Give up those grudges, those attitudes, forgive each other. Whatever you have against anyone. According to the way God wants us to do this, he wants us to do it by forgiveness. It's just that simple. And notice what he really is asking us. He isn't asking you to pretend the hurt didn't happen. He doesn't ask you to condone the hurt that you had, to pretend it didn't matter. He says, just forgive the grievance. Forgive it. Acknowledge how wrong it was, how painful it might be, still is, what was done to you. But to decide to forgive that person who did wrong to you. I'm absolutely certain here today that there are people here need to give up their grudges and forgive the grievances that someone has against you. And this is a good time as you begin a new season, a new year, whatever you want to call it, for you to do that. Maybe it's forgiving your parents for what they did or didn't do for you. Maybe it's forgiving your children for what they've done or didn't do for you. Maybe it's forgiving a spouse or an ex-spouse for the emotional and physical abuse they've put you through, that you suffer. Maybe you need to give up a grudge against someone in your workplace who they treated you badly. Some of you need to give up that grudge that stems from an argument you might have had with someone. Maybe again, you need to give up those grudges against people in this congregation, maybe against me, maybe against the pastor or leader, whoever it is. God says that deep-seated resentment you might have against the person, it has to go. If you want to live out the fullness of what the call that God has on your life, that has to go. And what better time to make that difficult decision for some of us to forgive than the start of a new year? Now, don't go telling God you can't do this. Because what you're really meaning to say is you don't want to do this, or you won't do this, or you won't forgive. See, if Yeshua can forgive you your sin despite the fact that it cost him his whole life and the pain and suffering on the cross, you can give up your grievance for someone else. Amen. So the question is, will you do it? Will you choose to do it? Because it's our choice. He doesn't force us. But he's saying, if you want to have a significant different outlook in this new year, consider making that commitment to give those things up. And the third commitment I'm challenging with this morning, after leaving your past failures and giving up your resentment or your bitterness or grudges toward with someone else, is to commit yourself to restore relationships with people that have been you're not in relationship with anymore. You know, some are familiar with computers. When you turn on a computer, it looks in the window and it says you want to check out all the programs, make sure they're all working properly. God in his word tells us to do something very similar. Not necessarily check out your computer and if it's working properly, but check out your relationships that you're having with people. Are they working properly? And this is how he challenges us in Romans 12:18. He says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with everyone. Be at peace with everyone. And the important phrase here is as it depends upon you. God is making that personal. It's a personal challenge to each one of us to do all we can to restore our relationships. He wants us to do everything we can to restore any relationship that might have gone wrong in our lives. Some relationships might have gone wrong because of what other people have done, and they might not even want to restore a relationship with us. God recognizes that. That's why he said, if it's possible. And let's be honest, some of our relationships are things we've done wrong because of what we've done. And when God says here, as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone, he's saying if you caused a rift in your relationship, you have a responsibility to do something about that. In fact, if you remember the scripture, before you go to the altar and give God your present, and he says, if you have aught with someone, go and make that right. You know, it looks back at some of the bitterness that we talked about. And he says, whatever it is, it includes the one thing we all probably find most difficult to do that is asking forgiveness. And I'm sure I'm not the only person here that finds it hard to say I'm sorry to those closest to us. We have a difficult time with that. See, you think about how many relationships are not the way they should be simply because someone won't say I was wrong. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? How many relationships would change dramatically just with those few words? And I'm certain that some of us need to ask for forgiveness for some harsh words we might have said to someone or some cutting remarks that have wounded people, so on. Maybe God is some of us challenge us this year. Maybe it's the right time to restore those relationships that we've ruined by saying that we are sorry. Maybe we've done and said angry words. Maybe we've had selfish actions against someone or being unthoughtful in how we've dealt with people and so on and so forth. This gentleman named Keith Drury, he's a writer from the Wesleyan Church. And one of his books, he touches on this whole subject of restoring relationships. When talking about restitution, this is what he says. He said, restitution deals with more than property. It's also going back and making things right for hurtful things we've said or done. It's far easier for me to tell you some story than to tell you of the difficult and painful times, he's saying, that I've had to ask my wife, my boys, my boss, my friends, to forgive me. It was more difficult for him to ask those people in his life to forgive him. He said, restitution is asking forgiveness for harsh words, quick tongue, cutting remarks. It's asking forgiveness from a brother you hurt, a mother you might have caused heartache, a former spouse which you hurt. Restitution is confessing and seeking forgiveness from old people you've hurt in your workplace or neighbors or roommates. It's admitting that my past errors and relationships and humbly seeking forgiveness from the one I hurt. And it's harder to make a personal restitution, he says, than a property restitution. Make me no mistake, it's hard to do that. It's very humbling to go to someone like that. But I believe it's probably the most significant thing we could do as we go into this new year, not just to set off fireworks as people have done, but to admit to your past errors in relationships and to humbly seek forgiveness from the one you hurt. And it's a challenge, and it's a commitment to do that, to restore broken relationships. Will you do it in this new year? And the last thing I want to mention, last commitment, turn away, turn your back on your sins, sinfulness, your transgressions. You know, when I was preparing this message, I read about during the American Civil War, it's interesting, the fact that after the war was over and the slaves had been set free, many slaves decided to stay with their former master and continue to do what they were told. They were set free, but they chose to remain. And the New Testament says that's exactly what many believers choose to do. That's exactly how many believers choose to live. See, Yeshua died to set us free. Amen. The Holy Spirit has given us the power to be free. But just like those and some of those former slaves, they still chose to obey their own master, as many believers choose to obey our old master called sin. Romans 6:12, Paul tells us this, "Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires." I can't tell you how many leaders and Christian leaders and other leaders, messianic leaders, have fallen, have done these things in their lives and have covered them up or whatever. I've never seen anything like it, and I don't need to rattle off all the names of what's going on, but God will not be mocked. We will reap what we sow. This last challenge that I believe, if you will meet it, will make this new year significant for you. When God says, don't let these things control you, don't let sin control the way you live, do not give in to its lustful desires, it's a challenge for us to say, no more. We're turning our back on those things. We don't want them in our lives anymore. We're done. There is another person who struggled with that. One of our heroes in the Bible. His name was David. David's no stranger to us. He needed a new beginning because of the sin in his life. Most of us know the story. David was on the roof, checked out, looking over, noticed a woman bathing, had her brought to his palace, slept with her, committed adultery. And David, it didn't take long for David to get caught in this sticky situation with Bathsheba when she told him she was pregnant. And as sin does, one sin leads to another. And he invited her husband to come home from a battle so he would sleep with her and they would think that it was his kid, her husband's kid, not David's. This, of course, he wanted to just cover his sin. When that attempt didn't work, he had Bathsheba's husband basically killed. And in chapter 12 of 2 Samuel, Nathan, the prophet, comes and rebukes David. He tells David a story about two men. One was rich and the other was poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep. The poor man only had one little lamb. Nathan goes on to say the rich one had some friends over, and instead of killing and eating one of his own sheep, the rich man chose to kill the poor man's lamb. I'm sure you know the story. David was ticked. He was mad. He said that rich man should repay that poor man four times for what he took from him. And then Nathan said, you're the man. You're the one who did that. David was caught up in his sin. He needed a new beginning. See, like him, we need a new beginning. Some of us are caught up in this stuff. So listen to what David wrote in Psalm 51, beginning with verse 10. He said, Lord, create in me a new heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence and take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Grant me a willing heart to sustain me. Then I will teach transgression your ways, and sinners will turn their back, will turn back to you. See, it's a new beginning. There's some sin that we're dealing with. God wants us to have a new beginning. He wants us to leave that behind. You know, there's a term that's out there. Some of us know the term. It's called besetting sins. And what besetting sins are, really in particular for believers, are things that they continue to do over and over again. See, most of us, when we're saved, we give up certain things and so on. But there are other things that we know that are wrong that we really battle with. Those are the besetting sins, the ones that continue to go at us and to trip us up. So many of us end up choosing to give in instead of get rid of these besetting sins. And we end up living double lives. That's why some people, you know, pastor of the largest church in Colorado winds up having these affairs while preaching amazing messages on Sundays. And yet he continues to have these homosexual affairs. And I mean, those are things you can't live two lives. God will bring it out. He'll bring it to light. There's an article online by an anonymous pastor that described his battle with a besetting sin, pornography. He gave into that sin time after time and then was overcome with guilt. I heard about this pastor that was into pornography as well, and he was doing a PowerPoint presentation at his church, and when he turned on the PowerPoint, he didn't realize he turned on a pornography channel that he's watching in front of his church. Besetting sins, thinking you can have your cake and eat it too. Maybe that's how some of us have been living, defeated by the same old stuff that we deal with. This man had this huge growth on his neck, and he said, well, why don't you get rid of that? He said, I don't want to do anything about it. I'll just learn to live with it. That sums up what many believers today have an attitude toward with their besetting sins. They won't do anything about it. They just learn to live with it. I have to ask you in your spiritual life, has it been affecting you? Any besetting sins, maybe a quick temper that you constantly give into when anger outrages, or a tongue that loves to assassinate other people's character, or wound other people's feelings, or maybe coarse jesting, or maybe profanity and cuss words coming out of your mouth. Have you learned to live with that and said, maybe you've learned to live with a critical, judgmental attitude toward people, and you know it's wrong, but you continue it. Maybe there's something else that you're given into. God's word is challenging us as we enter this new season to turn our back to that. We're no longer going to do that. We're choosing not to do that. We're choosing not to let that control our lives. We're not going to give into it. We're going to stop obeying our old master called sin. Let's be clear. Yeshua's death broke the power of sin, and the Holy Spirit can give you the ability to resist sin. That means we don't have to go into this new year still defeated by the same old stuff. We can have victory over it. God says you're no longer a slave to that stuff. Don't live like one. Don't act like one if you're not. If you'll ask God's forgiveness for that and ask him for his power to resist those sins, this new year can be something great for you. You don't have to carry around that guilt of that anymore. It could be a new era in your spiritual life. And we can't miss that opportunity and dial it out and just do same old stuff and expect a different result of blessing and of the things that God wants to do in your life. Ask our worship team to come on up here now, please. See, it all boils down to this. will this new year just be another calendar year? You look, okay, now we're in 2025. Let's flick the calendar. We're changing events. Or are we going to rise to the challenge that what God wants us to do in our lives? The challenge from God's word, not my words. These are his words. And make the commitments to make this a life-changing time. Are we willing to do that in 2025 and make these four commitments? Will you commit yourself to forget your failures? Will you commit yourself to give up these grudges, this bitterness toward with people that have hurt you? Will you commit yourself to restoring relationships that you know whatsoever it is in you that God wants you to try and do that? And if they don't want it, that's on them. But he wants you, as far as it depends on you, to do that. And turning your back, will you commit to turn away from sin, from any besetting thing, anything that you've gotten used to or you're just living with and so on and so on? Let me tell you, this new year can be something to celebrate if you make forgiveness the heart of what it's all about, because it's all about forgiveness. Forgive yourself. Forget the past. Forgive yourself for your past. Forgive others who hurt you. Forgive whatever grievances you have against them. Forgive others and forgive yourself from those you've hurt. And as far as it depends on you, be at peace with everyone. Ask God forgiveness. I'm no longer going to be a slave to that sin. If that's what you want to make a commitment to this morning, would you stand with me? Because I'm committing to those things. So if you stand with me, you're committing to them as well. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just pray right now, Lord, for every one of us. Lord, we've all fallen short. We've all failed at certain things in life. But I just pray that everyone here would be able to not carry the guilt of those things anymore, that they would be able to receive your forgiveness for those things, Lord God. Lord, we all have a past, but we can't do anything about that. But we can let it go and live out the present in order to have a glorious future with you as well. And Lord, I do pray, Lord, for us in our own hearts to be able to forgive others who have hurt us. Will you tell us to forgive whatever grievance we have against someone, to let that go? And I think that's something, you know, I want to just take a moment and let God challenge you in your heart. You know who that is or who they are. I've had to do that. I'm telling you, I've had to do that. I've been hurt by people and I've had every right to feel hurt and hold on, but I've chosen not to. I've chosen to reconcile and restore relationships. God is challenging every one of us. If there is someone that's hurt you and you've held on to that hurt, let it go. Forgive them. And ask God's help to do that. God, just show us who that is. Most of us here would know who they are or who that is in our lives. Just make that known. We don't have to walk out of this room with grudge or bitterness or ought toward with anyone. We can let that go right here and right now. Right now. Just let it go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we ask for forgiveness for those we've hurt, that you can restore those relationships, we ask them for forgiveness as well. As your word says, as far as it depends on us, live at peace with everyone. It depends on us, not the other person that we've heard. It depends on us. Lord, we want to be at peace with everyone. We don't want to carry around aught in our hearts. And may the Lord just reveal to us, what are those things that keep gnawing at us, that we keep falling for, that we keep acting on, those besetting sins? Lord, I pray that you would not only show us and where we see that, but you would set us free from those things. They are not who we are. We are a new creation in Yeshua. The old things pass away, and he makes all things new. Lord, would you let those old attitudes and the way we've talked and shared and hurt and spoken and things we've done that are not pleasing to you, Lord, forgive us for those things. We no longer want to do that. That's just not who we are. We don't have to learn to live with those things. We're now new creation in you. Lord, let those old things go. Those old attitudes, those old judgmental things, Lord, let them go. Set us free, Lord. Let this year be significant for all you want to accomplish in our lives. And I say, great is your faithfulness to do that. And I understand, Lord, it's all about forgiveness. Forgiving ourselves, forgiving others, and asking you for forgiveness for what we've done that's not pleasing to you. We just thank you, Lord, and just say, great is your faithfulness to do that. We don't have to walk out of here the same way we walked in here with any of those things in our lives. And we just thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. May this be a year that we bring you glory in our lives, that we honor you and bless you. May we be as the remnant that does things your way, that chooses to live according to your word, according to how you've set before us and giving us the ability to live the life that you've called us to live. We want to bless you, Lord, with how we live this year. May it be just a sweet fragrance to you. May you be proud of your kids here today as to how they choose to live their life in this world. And Lord, I just thank you for your words even over us now that you've given thousands of years ago that are so relative even today, because you are God who loves us and wants to bless us. And may we start out this new year truly with a blessing from you, that the Lord would bless you and keep you, that the Lord would make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, that the Lord would lift up his countenance and turn his face toward you and thus give you his peace. Yivarechecha Adonai. Ve'yishma recha, Ya'er Adonai panav alecha, vihunecha. Yisa Adonai panav alecha, v'yasam lecha shalom. Father, as we make these commitments, we know that your peace that passes all understanding will live in our lives and will direct our paths and will fulfill your purpose for our lives for such a time as this. May it be so. And I pray those things in the name of the Holy One of Israel, Yeshua our Lord. And if you agree, just say amen. 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 We'll see you at Oneg downstairs. Let's give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Lord.